lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Lord be with you, Brother John. We love you. Thankful that you're here with us.
It's good to be here, Brother Gary. Good morning to all who I didn't have an opportunity to say good morning to. It is good to be with you this morning, and we do ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments this morning, praying that the Lord of glory would be with us. You know, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have gathered this morning, and we pray that... And as we come in His name, we're mindful of that finished work that He accomplished on Calvary's cross, and that we as His people have been given a great hope that one sweet day that we will see Him, we will know Him, and we will be likened unto Him. And though the world seems chaotic, and though we seem confused from time to time, even in these last couple of years when we think that we're coming out of this COVID thing, just to be introduced to another segment of it, I know in some ways it seems like it's unending, like it's just going to be... a constant thing that we're going to have to deal with in this time world. It might be. We never know. But one thing we do know is the certainty of the Lord our God, who changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and He will be that same forevermore. So as God's little children, though the world might be as it is, we have that constant hope. We have that steadfastness. We have that anchor in which we shall never be moved from. We press on. We press on as God's little children, giving Him all thanks and praise in all things. I want to go just for a few moments this morning to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. You know, we sang that song, Come and Dine. And interestingly, it's been on my mind for the last couple of days. And I thought it was, you know, it's kind of like, I was kind of doubtful. I said, you know, this is really where the Lord want me to go. And then, Brother Garrett, then we have it as the opening song. So we trust that the Lord is in it and that He would indeed bless us this morning. So continue to pray for me and one another.
Amen.
That the Lord of glory would have His own way. And we really don't want to read this whole section here, but we know that in the beginning of that chapter, that Peter decides he wants to go fishing. And in that, and the others go with him, and we know that they spent all night and didn't catch a thing. But yet... we see that in the morning that Jesus stood on the shore there. And He told them to, He asked them if they caught anything, then He told them to cast that net on the other side. And I want to start there reading probably at verse 7. It says, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153.
Yeah.
And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken.
Yeah.
And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. You know, Jesus says to us today, just as he said to the disciples in times of old, come and dine.
Yeah.
Come and dine. You know, I often think about that, and I think, as what is it that hinders us from coming and dining? Feast upon that which the Lord has given us as we sojourn in a timely sense. In this world, that song that we sing, it says, we can come all the time. I mean, we can come to that feast anytime, all the time. But what is it? I know for me, there seems to be always that something, another, that hinders this unworthy one from dining as this unworthy one would like to dine, and feasting as this unworthy one would like to feast. I think in some ways, as we if we look at the next verse there, next couple of verses there, it says, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish alike. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. You know, one thing has always got me about this question that Jesus answered, asked Peter. And the fact that Peter never really answered the question. You know, Jesus asked Peter, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know, I often ask myself, I don't know whether about you all, but do I love the Lord more than these?
Yeah, good question.
You know, I think that's what hinders this unworthy sinner from feasting and dining and supping with the Lord as I would ought, as I would want to do. It's these, that thing of these. What is these in my life? And what is these in your life? And what is these in Peter's life that seems to just kind of go over his head? He never really answered the Lord. When the Lord asked him, Do you love me more than these? You know, we get all tangled in the things of this world as God's little children. I mean, for Peter, I think Peter was pretty much told to stay still, but yet he saw a need to go fishing.
Right.
To go about into the world that he would have something to do. You know, we as God's children, we can get so entangled. I think of the parable of the sowers. We can get so entangled with things of this world that we lose sight of whom it is who has given us life. You know, we've been given life by our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who declared that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You know, we've been given that lively hope, brethren. We have been brought out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light and given life, brethren, life unlike unto anything that we have ever experienced when we were quickened and brought out of that nature's darkness into his marvelous life. But yet when we think about it and when we find ourselves, brethren, in service for the Lord our God, that there's always something that hinders. Even Paul declared that he found himself not doing those things that he would want to do, but doing those things that he didn't want to do. Being entangled with the things of this world, and oftentimes, brethren, as God's little children, we look around us and we think about those, and we call to remembrance those joyous times in life when we were blessed to be lifted up and to rejoice in the goodness of the Lord and to feast upon His every word and desiring indeed to always be at the feet of Jesus, to be in that constant state of rest and peace and not being entangled and feeling like we're being just tossed back and forth in this world, going hither and thither, and not being grounded. But yet Jesus tells us to simply come and dine.
Amen.
And we forget, brethren, that there's a labor upon us that we must labor as God's little children to enter into that rest. The rest is there. It is there for us as God's little children to partake of all as long as we're in this time world. We know that we don't have to worry about it one sweet day when we're in His presence, when we are absent from this clay tabernacle. But as long as we're here, brethren, we as God's children need to always remember that there is a rest for us. There's a rest at the feet of Jesus for every little heir promised, brethren, who has been quickened and made alive. And so He beckons us to simply to come and dine. You know, James tells us to risk, and in resisting the devil, it means also that we resist those worldly temptations that would indeed cause us to come out of that narrow and straight and narrow way into that broad way and into those little things of the world that entices this flesh of ours. It's a war, brethren. It's a war, brethren, that we don't have to fight by ourselves. Because we have one, brethren, who is able to fight that battle for us when we're blessed to be at His feet and to hear His every word. You know, sometimes I find myself, we get so entangled that we forget. We forget who we are. We forget that precious promise that Jesus gave us and gives us constantly. That I'm with you.
Right.
You're not by yourself. I, your Lord, I am with you. And all I say is to you, just simply come unto me. Come unto me. You don't have to carry this load by yourself. You don't have to bear these burdens by yourself. You don't have to resist. And well, when you find yourself in doubt, all you have to do is cry out to me, and I will be there, and I will deliver you. That is what He tells us constantly, constantly, and constantly. We find ourselves, brethren, not coming and dining,
right?
Not being at that rest that He gives us, brethren. Now I was wondering if I'd be able to make it today. You know, I have. I have arthritis in my toes, and sometimes it's so such that you can't barely walk. I mean, it's painful. But there are things that you can eat to trigger that, and
gotcha.
So you know you find yourself. I says, well, do I really want to eat this today and suffer the consequences, or maybe the consequences won't come. And we do stupid little things like that. I mean, I do anyway. I don't know about you, but I do stupid little things like that. And then you find yourself, man.
Yeah, why did I do that?
Yeah, why did I do that? And am I really going to be able to make it to the meeting tomorrow for being stupid today? We find ourselves doing those things all the time. And it's those little things, dear friends, that prevents us from dining.
It does.
You know, that when we think about those things in our life that are a stumbling block or a hindrance to us as God's little children, brethren, think about our role in that. You know, James said to resist, and he will flee from you. The adversary would say that it's okay. It's okay just one more time. It's not going to hurt you. Just a little bit of that, just a little taste of this in the world, it's not going to hurt you at all. And we fall into it. Brother Gary's laughing at me, see, because he knows what I'm talking about.
You're hitting me.
He knows exactly what I'm talking about. So what we do is that we don't resist. And we partake. And in that partaking, just that one small little thing that the adversary, just like he told Eve, just take a bite. It's not going to hurt you. And he still says that same thing to God's little children today.
Absolutely.
It's not going to hurt you.
He'll rob you.
The pride, the thing is that, yes, he will rob you of your joy. And brethren, that one little detour.
Right.
It costs you hours upon hours of unrest that you could have been resting at the feet of Jesus and dining upon that manna that comes from on high. You know, I don't have a mirror with me, but if I were look into a mirror, what I see is he who is the worst of me. He who is the greatest hindrance to me in my life is me. And for you, dear friends, if you haven't got it yet, it's you.
Yeah.
It's you. And he says here, and so I, you know, when I think about what he asked Peter here. I mean, he asked Peter a very simple question. And Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." Well, that ain't what Jesus asked him. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But the purpose of the question to Peter was, "Peter, do you love me more than this other stuff here? Or is this other stuff more important to you?" See, because every time we, as God's little children, every time we look at that other stuff,
yeah,
it takes away from the joy that we would have experienced at the feet of Jesus. Do we understand, brethren, that every little slip has a consequences for us as God's little children?
Amen.
Brother John ain't talking about heaven's pure world. I'm talking about being at peace with God as we sojourn in this time world, and to be able to feast and dine upon all that he provides to us.
Amen.
While we're here.
Right.
You know, we can look at this life as being a life of misery, but it doesn't have to be a life of misery. Brethren, we know the master of the wind. We know him.
Amen.
Personally, he is a master of the storm, brethren. He's able to quieten those storms in our lives, brethren.
He sure is.
But oftentimes, instead of looking to have that storm quieten, we're listening to the adversary, and we're going to go fishing.
Yeah,
you see. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go fishing to relieve ourselves of this boredom and this thing called the circumstance of life. Rather than dining, we're going to go fishing. That's a choice we make, brother. Every single day of our lives, we are tempted.
Yes. True.
And most often, hey, you know how it is for you. I know how it is for me. Fortunately, the Lord doesn't keep score. If it did, the game would have been over a long time ago. So when he asked us that question, and he says, "Sister, brother, lovest thou me more than these?" And you say, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love you." Remember that that's not what he asked you. He asked you if these other things in your life were more important to you.
Yeah.
than the Lord himself. And he tells him, he says unto Simon Peter, he says unto him, feed my lambs. You know, oftentimes we look at that and we think of the ministry. But what I want to say to you today is that it applies to every layer of promise.
Amen.
You see what happens, see, when we partake and we don't dine, consider what manner of conversation that we're having amongst those that are around us. One small example. I know for me, I don't know about you, but I know for me, let's take food for instance. There are certain foods that I eat that kind of triggers me. And you can ask Sister Gladys, and sometimes it makes me irritable. Sometimes it makes me act differently than I would typically. So when you think of whatever it might be for you, it doesn't have to be food, it could be whatever. But when that happens, brethren, what happens to us is that kind of like Saul, our countenance change, and our conversation becomes different. And as God's little children, when we think about our purpose here as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be examples.
Exactly.
We're to be followers and examples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what kind of example would I be if I'm going around being irritable? And every little thing getting next to me because of something that I did. And I can blame everybody is at fault. Except me. Brethren, when we think about the Spirit moves and allows us, brethren, and speaks to us in that still small voice. And he would say to me or to you, he says, brother, you don't need that. Brother, you don't need to go that way. Sister, you don't need that. That is not good for you. But we're so easily beguiled. We're like little children, you see. And that spiritual warfare, those fiery darts. You see, the adversary is not going to tempt you with something that the adversary knows that it's not going to get to you. He knows exactly where that dart should go. And that the exact spot that he's aiming for. And there we go. Reacting. Rather than pleading and crying out. Lord, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Help thou my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
I believe that thou art able to deliver me from this trial, from this temptation. I believe that thou art able, brethren, to lift me up and allow me to just ride through the storm. I believe, dear Lord, but help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
Because in that unbelief is my weakness. And as he told the apostle, that in our weakness, that his power is manifested. And when we acknowledge, brethren, our weaknesses, then the power of God is manifested.
Amen.
And we see a deliverance unlike unto anything that we can even hope for. You see, God is able to provide us, brethren, more than we could ever ask, and more than we could even think to ask him for.
Right.
He's able to give us, brethren. We're his. We're not just anybody. We have been purchased, brethren, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are heirs and joint heirs of that kingdom, brethren. He didn't redeem you, brethren, for you just to kind of, for us to just to run away in the other direction. like sheep without a shepherd. We have a shepherd. We have that good shepherd. That is why David declared in the psalmist that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He understood that Jesus would provide all that he needed.
Amen.
The question that we ask ourselves, brethren, we know that he provides all that we need, but do we partake of that which he provides? Or do we just cast it aside as though it had no value whatsoever? You see, that manna that comes from on high. Now, we know how our brethren of old reacted in that. They got tired of it. Got tired of the same old thing. And many of God's children get tired of hearing the same old thing preached. But that same old thing is a good thing. It is the good part. And in that good part, brethren, we're able to feast abundantly.
Amen.
Upon that which God provides. Feed my sheep.
Right.
In every aspect of me. In every aspect of you. That is what we do when we're blessed to come and die at the feet of Jesus and to hear his every word. You asked Simon that same question 3 times.
Yes, he did.
I don't know if Simon ever really got the first part. Did he never answer? But yet Simon was grieved when the Lord asked him that 3rd time. And Simon told the Lord, "Thou knowest everything." Yes, he does. He does know everything. Simon was right about that. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows our every thought. Because he has given us, brethren, that heart of flesh. And in that heart of flesh, brethren, and in that new creature, in that earnest of the spirit that he has given us, brethren, in that is the ability to come and dine at the feet of Jesus and to hear his every word. It is not as though we're not equipped, because we are.
Yeah.
Because we have been equipped by the Lord our God.
Amen.
Not by ourselves. He has provided to us all that we need. But ask ourselves, brethren. I know the answer, but I keep asking myself the question anyway. And nothing else is a constant reminder to me as to who I am and what manner of conversation I ought to have. You see, sometimes we need to simply ask ourselves, to remind ourselves as to who we are. Lovest thou me more than these? Ask yourself that today, tomorrow, and all of your tomorrows. And what we will find in that reminder is that still small voice of the Spirit of the living God that will lead us into all truth. It's there. Do we partake of it? Or do we simply go fishing? Blessed be the Lord.
Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. What number that is that?